independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
We targeted a system of tunnels and caves that ISIS fighters used to move around freely, making it easier for them to target U.S. military advisors and Afghan forces in the area.
That was a bomb. Not just a bomb. That is what we call on the Chad Benson Show a BAB, a big-ass bomb. 21,600 pounds of ass-kicking machine. Very interesting, right? Like, he's got the stuff. And by the way, the message, as people are getting closer and closer to realizing that, yes, there seems to be another nuclear test getting ready to happen in Pyongyang, North Korea. Did you hear that? By the way, that wasn't a nuclear bomb, our good friend, our dear midget leader. Chad, that's not very nice. Shouldn't our vertically challenged dearest of leaders. We have that laying around. We don't even know what it does, right? Sometimes, like, our stuff, it's like, you ever buy that huge package of fireworks? And you're like, says here, this is a Mexican lava tail witch burner. What's it do? Well, let's find out. That's kind of what that bomb was. We tried it. We released it. Right, Mr. Spice?
The United States military used a GBU-43 weapon in Afghanistan. The GBU-43 is a large, powerful, and accurately delivered weapon.
Mexican rattletail witch burner. Got to give it some cool name, right?
Chad?
Can't just be that. Moab? Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
That's no fun.
Is that a hold my beer and watch this bomb?
Yeah, that's a hold my beer and watch this. You're like, guys, this is going to be great. We are going to bomb the hell out of these people. I don't even know what it's going to do. This is going to be good. 21,600 pounds of badassery. He's like a kid in a candy store. And by that, I mean I don't know who it is. I really don't know who it is. Could it be Trump? Is it Mad Dog Mattis? Because people aren't saying whether or not Trump essentially said, you know what, I got a great military. I tell them go, you know, do whatever the hell they want to do and, you know, make sure you don't break anything.
Very, very proud of the people. Another successful job. We're very, very proud of our military.
Very proud. They are so good at blowing stuff up. I don't even know who we're going to bomb next week. We're running out of stuff. Nah, I'm just kidding. We got a bunch of stuff. But what we hit was essentially an area in space between a Pakistani region just across the border and into Afghanistan that had a bunch of tunnels and holes and whatnot that people were going in and out of. Potentially, there was a good portion of ISIS was using it to train as well. And you know what? It's all about collateral damage.
The United States took all precautions necessary to prevent civilian casualties and collateral damage as a result of the operation.
So there you go. Collateral damage. We're going to do all we possibly can to make sure that we don't break a bunch of stuff. But we do have the greatest military of all.
Everybody knows exactly what happened. And what I do is I authorize my military. We have the greatest military in the world, and they've done a job as usual. So we have given them total authorization.
And that's what people are starting to ask the question. Did the Trumpster know this was happening? Did he give him authorization? Or did he say, look, you know what? You guys, I'm not going to micromanage you. You guys do what you think you have to do. If it's boots on the ground, if it's certain things, that is a different story. But otherwise, you and I, you do your thing, I'll do my thing. All right? You do your thing. You do you, I'll do me. You do you, I'll do me. And you is blowing big stuff up. Like last week, I needed. You're fighting Afghanistan. Congress already said, let's fight in Afghanistan. So that's your thing. Last week, I did me, which was I shot stuff at Assad. That was my thing. You do you, I do me. So there you go. Interesting, though, man. That thing's huge. Huge. Huge bomb. That was bigly. Like, if you're going to go bigly, I'm surprised he didn't bigly it, right? Like, I'm surprised he didn't throw bigly out there because that was super bigly on that. I was like, whoa, that's awesome. There you go. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat at chatbensonshow.com. It is Tequila Thursday. If you're listening to the show, we are renaming stuff. We've got Tostada Tuesday. We have Wonton Wednesday. Tequila Thursday. A lot of people are very excited about that. Producer Phil came up with that. Tomorrow's always Donut Friday because it's just amazing. We don't care about the weekend. It's a free-for-all weekend. And then Monday, we're missing Monday. What goes with Meatball Monday? Not meatless. That's a silly idea. Who doesn't want to eat meat? Let's go meatless Monday. You're foolish. Meat is delicious. I was a vegetarian except for the meat part.
Hey, Chad.
Yeah?
Let's carry it over from yesterday. Let's have Meatloaf Monday.
Oh, God, what a great idea. Meatloaf Monday. Kids, we have knocked it out the park. You should thank us for caring about you the way that we do. Even on a day when we blow up a bunch of crappy, sandy tunnels in a godforsaken part of the world that nobody really should be in. We have thrown you that. President Trump, interesting character to say the least. I like Trump. I want him to succeed. I tell everybody I want all my presidents to succeed. If you don't, you're an idiot. You're a fool. We got a great phone call from somebody who is so mad at me over something. But it just goes to show you that the world that we live in, if you're not on a side, people are pissed. And only the loudest scream, right? And they're so blinded by their ideology that if you have the truth in front of them, it doesn't matter. Right? It doesn't matter. They won't believe it. Like, people who are so blinded by stuff that if you said we landed on the moon, they said no. You take them up to the moon, show them all the stuff, they're still not going to believe you. They're going to think you hypnotized them. And I think Trump's going to have problems with some of the people out there because Trump is a guy that gets stuff done. Trump is a guy that wants to get things done, meaning he didn't care about ideology. He cares about, I want to get this fixed so the American people can benefit. I don't want gridlock. I don't want us flapping around doing absolutely nothing. I don't want infighting. And if that's what's going to happen, I'm going to go get the deal done where the deal needs to get done. You can either fish or cut bait. Those are your choices. I think he realized and he got a lesson early and he's changing a lot of stuff. And people are wondering why he's become such a centrist when it comes to China, when it comes to Syria. And oh my God, he wasn't going to go into Syria. He's flip-flopped this, that. It's not that. NATO, boom. A lot of things he's looking at differently. Why is he looking at things differently? Because like a lot of things in life, man, you say to yourself, when I get this, I'm going to be like this. When I go here, I'm going to be like this. When I do... You say a lot of those things, but you don't know what it's like until you get inside of there and actually assume control or become a part of whatever you said you were going to do, right? Like, you can say, if I won the lottery tomorrow, I'm going to do this, this, and this, and all of a sudden you got $200 million. It's a different world, right? Like, whoa, I didn't know this. You could say, I can't wait till I become a professional athlete. You become a professional athlete, and all of a sudden everything goes out the window that you thought. It's like being a parent, right? I'm going to be this kind of parent, that kind of parent. Then you have a child, and it's totally different. Trump's inside. He wants stuff done. He sees, I don't want my 4 years or 8 years to be marred by the fact that we have infighting in the Republican Party who are living and dying by ideology, not understanding it's a world of give and take, and I don't want to sit here and fight the Democrats tooth and nail all the time and have them hating me. If I have to come to the center to get deals done and even go to them, I'm going to do it. I'm absolutely going to do it.
Look at what's happened. It's those entities or individuals in some cases or issues evolving towards the president's position.
Evolving towards the president's position. Control the narrative. Control the narrative. Control the narrative. That's what you do. Smart. Read a great article today on CNN.com about the fact that he's changed his position. People say he's flip-flopping. He's not. He's used to getting things done. Government's different, right? Like business, you need to get stuff done so you have revenue, so you have business, and you have more revenue, and you keep the lights on and the doors open and employees paid, right? Politics, if it doesn't get done, lights are still on. Right? People still getting paid. We're still getting taxed. So there's no repercussions. He's used to that. And I think he's going to move into a position where he is not going to be driven by ideology. He's going to be driven by results. And I want to see how the people that are his loyalists, and there's a cult-like figure for a lot of these people he is, I want to see how they feel about him when he starts to do some things that are counter to what he talked about when he was on the campaign trail. Because he wants results, not rhetoric. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat@chatbensonshow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Millions of people around the globe are wondering, here in these United States, how do I protect myself, my house, my family, the things that are so precious to me? Well, you could go out and you could have, you know, somebody show up at your house in a slick, you know, nice polo shirt and try to sell you something, a long-term contract you get stuck in. They put something inside of the wall. And let me tell you something, my mother, she had one of those big alarm companies come out. It lasted about 2 months. The kids stopped, you know, pushing the button. The alarm went off. It was a giant, huge pain in the butt. It was horrible. And they're still paying on a contract. She decided, I'm not using this. It's horrible. She went and did something better, right? She bought herself out of that contract, which she's out of, I think, in May. But she got into a better situation with Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe, you go online. Few clicks, your Simply Safe Home Security system's on its way. A few days, it's at your doorsteps. An hour after that, your home is surrounded with 24/7 professional protection. Doesn't get simpler than that. And the best part, Simply Safe, there's no hidden fees, no long-term contracts, no hassles, just better, smarter home security. That's what I want you to do, right? Just check them out. Go to simplysafe.com/Benson. And just by doing that, you're going to save 10%. But hurry, this discount won't last long. That's simplysafe.com/Benson for 10% off your Simply Safe home security system. Simplysafe.com/Benson. You will not be disappointed. In fact, you're going to call me and say, thank you. And you know what? Thanks, Simply Safe. It's the Chad Benson Show. Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites, and now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 200-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium-sized businesses. And right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/report. That's ZipRecruiter.com/report. One more time. Try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/report.
On a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 sucks and 10 rocks, welcome to Talk Radio's 11. It's the Chad Benson Show.
These guys are 11.
Yeah, Phil and I were talking off air, and I'm telling you what. And I mean this. Is ideologues out there, and there's a lot of people who listen to talk radio who subscribe to one side of the aisle. They're not open-minded. They're not into that. They don't want to hear about anything that anybody else has to say, except they want their belief system reinforced over and over again. And they're going to be disappointed, I think, because this guy is not an ideologue. He's, I want to get stuff done. I am busy and I got no time for your infighting. And you know what else I don't have time for? Your incompetence. I don't have time for your incompetence. If you can't get it done, we will find somebody who can get it done. And I'm serious. I know that for a lot of people out there, there's a cult. Man, when I've talked to other hosts who even dare challenge him, the stuff that they tell me they get and the way that people act towards them, It's crazy. Now, I'm lucky because you guys are all pretty open-minded, smart cookies, by and large, pander. You know, but I still get it. I do. I still get it. How dare you? Because they don't listen. Because they want you to buy into the cult of the personality. I am a guy that likes results. Bring me results. He's a guy, I believe, likes results. That was the thing that excited me most about his presidency, is I think he's results-based, and I think he'll pull back the curtain and expose the BS that happens in Washington. But in doing so, I think a lot of people are going to be a little frustrated and upset. And by a lot of people, I mean a vocal minority that he is not sold for a cause. And their cause is that alt-right kind of feel. Let's have a little fun, shall we? I've got a great one today. This is your Urban Word of the Day.
It's time for the Urban Word of the Day, fam.
What? Right now?
Time to get a little more hip on the streets.
I can't understand a word you're saying.
Urban Word of the Day.
Now, Phil, this is probably one of the best urban words I have used. Picking it up from the Utes of America. It's called a phone fast. Phone fast is the period of time where you voluntarily stop using your phone. The time saved with a smartphone is best to use to meditate or just be you. Phone fasting is increasingly important in this age of 24/7 connectivity. The attorney phone fasted for 2 hours a day to relieve work stress. Phone fasting, kids, is a good thing. If you've never done it, every once in a while, it is great to turn your phone off and do nothing. But it's hard in this world of connectivity because a lot of times phone also offers us relaxation and mindless stuff. That is your urban word of the day.
Dated urban slang so that I'll understand you.
That there was the urban word of the day. We damn stretched your cranium.
All right, producer Phil, guess what weekend this is?
Easter weekend?
For most of the world, it is. But for my little slice of heaven, it is first weekend of Coachella. And they've started arriving. I've seen a plenty of them. The man buns, the beards that are nicely coiffed and trimmed. And by the way, you know what's great about Coachella? Girls in small outfits. You know what's not so great about Coachella? Small outfits on some other people. just throwing that out there. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. They're called free-range kids. No, they're not chickens. What they are kids who used to be just kids, but now we have to give them a name. Lenora Skenazy is going to join us next. She is the person of the free-range kids. She's the founder. We're going to talk about what a free-range kid is and why don't we have more of them in this country. Straight ahead. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
They're called free-range kids. When I was a kid, we were called latchkey kids or just kids. Nowadays, you can't let kids do anything without do-gooders stepping in. Please, CPS, it's insane. Yesterday, we talked about poor Mike Tang down there in Corona, California, who, of course, is potentially going to be doing time over the fact that he taught his kid a lesson. Joining us now is the Free Range Kids founder and just a woman who does a ton of stuff. And she likes man buns. Lenora Skenazy joins us. Thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Say on my tombstone, founded Free Range Kids, and for some reason likes man buns.
Likes man buns. You know, we talked a bit yesterday about the Mike Tang incident. Here's a guy that, you know, trying to teach his kid a lesson, and for that he gets 56 days of work release.
Hard labor, right.
It's insane. How did we get here? We're going to the park by yourself at age 8 or 9 is now potentially the most deadly thing you could do for a child?
it's the most deadly thing you can do as a parent because you could get arrested. Although somebody was asking me today how many get arrested, and really, I don't know. I'm like the Nancy Grace of arrested parents. When a parent gets arrested for letting their kid wait in the car 3 minutes or walk to school or play outside in their yard or in the park, I get a call. So to me, it seems like it's happening all the time. And the reason it's happening is that we've come to the conclusion, completely erroneously and unfactually based, that any time a child is unsupervised, they are automatically and instantly in serious, grave danger. Did you see the thing I was writing about last week and just railing about the woman in IKEA? Did you read about this?
No.
Okay, so this is actually a week after another mom in a grocery store had said basically the same thing. So this woman writes on her Facebook page that she was at IKEA with her three young children and her mom, and as she was walking around, she felt something strange, and there were two men who kept looking at her children. And she said, thank God I didn't glance down at my phone, or I would not have them anymore, because I just got this funny feeling, and it must have been so that these men wanted to sex traffic my children. And that's all it took. I mean, it was shared 100,000 times, and all the comments underneath go like, yikes, thanks for warning us, and oh, this is so helpful, and now I'll never glance at my phone when I have my children right next to me in a public place and my mother also watching them, and one of the babies, by the way, is in a sling, you know, clutching my breast. But nonetheless, somehow, the fact that there were two men who seemed to be following us through IKEA, and of course, everybody follows everyone through IKEA. There's no way to get through IKEA without looking at every last, you know, garbage can and pillow. So she was writing something that was based on complete conjecture, and I would say utter paranoia. It was shared 100,000 times and therefore amplified 100,000 times by people who shared this. And it gets to the point where if you believe that a child can be taken from you at IKEA in front of all the other parents and other shoppers and cameras and pillows, then you believe that any time a parent deliberately allows a child to go outside by themselves, that parent is basically saying, here you go, traffickers, I don't care, take them if you want, I'm sick of them. So people believe that children are in constant danger.
I'm talking to Lenore Skenazy, Free Range Kids founder, how to raise safe kids, self-reliant children without going nuts with worry. You know what? It's funny. The other day I was reading the UNICEF report about why, like, the Dutch kids are so happy. And the number two thing about them is the fact that their parents let them be kids, ride their bikes, do all kinds of things like that, climb trees. We have stopped doing that because, again, it's the paranoia.
It is, but it's so interesting that you say that let kids be kids, because there's a very different definition of what letting kids be kids means in that country, which is letting them be independent. And here it means putting them in the back seat and driving them to some place where you supervise them in a structured activity, and then you put them back in the car, and then you drive them to the next structured activity. And that is different from, as you probably remember, getting on your bike and riding around the neighborhood as if you were, you know, the coolest kid with your own Mustang. I mean, it was so freeing to just hop on your bike and ride wherever you wanted to go, the beach or the library, it didn't matter, and stay out till the streetlights came on. And nowadays, you know, it's rare to see a child on a bike. It is so rare to see a child walking by himself or walking home from the park or on their bike that people call 911 to say they've seen one of these things, and they're like, they're confused. What is this thing doing? It's like a lemur escaped from the zoo. It's like, what is this thing doing out on the street? This is like wildlife. It shouldn't be here. And then along come the police. The police have an inflated idea of danger, because otherwise they would see themselves as less important, or else they turn them over to Child Protective Services, which has to do something. And frankly, I do want them to take children away where the parents are literally torturing them or not feeding them or beating them or pimping them out. But I don't want them to take the children away from parents who let them play outside. But that's what happens. If you start defining any time a child is unsupervised as ipso facto dangerous, then it means that any parent who lets a kid have quote-unquote freedom, or what you were saying, lets a kid be a kid, that's a parent who's letting a kid be kidnapped.
You know, Laura, when I was growing up, I'm 46. Again, I was the latchkey kid. I was a kid who would walk home. My mom and dad wouldn't get home till later in the evening. Even at 6 and 7, I'd be home by myself for, you know, 2-3 hours. And there wasn't a worry. The other kids in the neighborhood would play. I never worried about getting snatched up. The fact is, we live in the safest time in our history,
right,
yet
right.
for
safest
some reason, we've lost it.
We really have. I mean, there's so many reasons. I mean, I give lectures about this all the time, and there's, like, I can whip you through the four basic reasons, but I just read a fifth, and I thought that these other people were making a lot of sense. There's a website, I think, called The Art of Manliness. And so the four basic reasons are the media. You know, media was not nearly as saturated into our lives as it is lately. And, of course, when you have so much competition, you have to go for the most exciting, visceral story that will keep people tuning in. And that story is of a white middle-class child who's kidnapped by a stranger. It's the rarest crime, but it's like one of the most common things you see on TV, and then you see it rippling through all the drama shows in the evening, and your brain doesn't realize that it's just getting all these messages. It mashes them all up in the brain as, like, happening all over, and it's so easy for your brain to retrieve these images when you think, can my kid wait at the bus stop? You go, no, J.C. Dugard was at the bus stop. No, Eitan Pates was at the bus stop. And you can't see the millions, the tens of millions. I mean, it's been about 40 years since Eitan Pates was kidnapped, and that's been about maybe 200 million children who have gone to their bus stops and come home and done their homework, but you don't see them. You only see the scary stories. So you have the media happening. You have a litigious society, which makes us all start thinking like lawyers and how this could be dangerous and this could go wrong. You have experts in the magazines and on television, especially those morning shows, just telling you everything that could possibly go wrong, and this happened to me, and my child was eating a pen cap, and he died, that kind of thing, just like the weird stories get a ton of attention. And then finally at the marketplace, which wants to sell you products. And so there are products that will, you know, allows you to keep your eyes on your child all the time, watch them on a map as you RFID tag them as they walk their way home, and never, you know, we know it's anxiety producing to let your child walk home a few blocks. Wouldn't it be great to be able to see them on a screen while they do it? And it's like, you know, we never thought of it as anxiety-producing that the kid was walking home three blocks from school. But now it's been defined by the marketplace as something anxiety-producing so that it can assuage the anxiety by selling us, you know, an app or a product or something that's expensive. But the newest idea, and I'll stop after this, is that because we are so safe, it's so weird and so anomalous and so terrifying when something terrible does happen to a child that it almost feels like, well, all of us kept our children safe. What did you do wrong? It's this illusion of control. And once you have the illusion of control, the idea that anything bad could ever happen to any child because of fate or God's great plan or bad luck doesn't enter into it. It's because a parent wasn't watching closely enough. And once that becomes the parameter of what makes a good parent, or the paradigm, or whatever the para word is, then parents start feeling like they must watch every single second lest anything bad happen, because everybody else's kids are so safe, they don't want theirs to be the one.
Talking to Lenore Scadese from Free Range Kids, and you know, you talk about parents. I think parents now, it's a spectator sport, and everybody's here to judge your parenting. And you talked about with Mike Tang that there's a moralistic side of things. If we like you, we're going to give you a pass. If we think morally you're doing something we don't agree with, we're going to come after you hard.
I'll tell you about a fascinating study that was done at the University of California at Irvine in a second, but I just want to say that today it was so obvious, because there were two stories in the news today. There's Mike Tang back in the news because there was a video done at Reason.com of him explaining why he let his son walk a mile home at dusk. He was trying to teach him a lesson. Don't do your homework and you'll end up homeless, and here's how it feels. And just, he was at his wit's end. And maybe it wasn't a great parenting decision, but it wasn't a dangerous parenting decision because the kid knew the way home and it's a very safe neighborhood. But we hate Mike for doing that, for forcing his child. But we're all celebrating the 8-year-old in Ohio who hopped in his parents' truck or SUV with his 4-year-old sister and drove to McDonald's having learned how to drive by watching YouTube videos. So it's like, wow, kids will be kids, and isn't that funny, and you got to see this. This is so cute, versus, oh, my God, how dare a dad trust an 8-year-old outside at all? And so when you hate the parent, suddenly see it as dangerous. The kid in the car is seen as a hero, and the kid who had to walk home somehow is considered in grave danger.
You know, I saw something, I think it was in Ohio again today, where a family had one of their kids taken away from CPS because they won't have their kid tested for ADD.
Oh,
and somehow
I saw
this
that.
Is
yeah.
their issue.
Yeah, yeah, I know. It's so wild. I mean, that's sort of what led me over towards more of a libertarian outlook, because I started realizing how much the government wants to have a say in how I raise my kids. And I don't want the government deciding, you know, what I can feed them, what I have to test them for, when I allow them to walk to school or play outside or go into the men's room without me dragging them into the ladies' room. I mean, these are decisions that have always been made by parents, and parents always disagree. Sometimes the husband and the wife disagree, but it's not for the government to come in and say, this is how I would do it, so I'm going to make you do it this way. The government is there to save children from death, right? If a child is literally being hurt, harmed, beaten, please have somebody step in and take the child out of harm's way. But don't take the child away simply because I do it my way and you do it your way and you think your way is better.
Talking to Lenore Skenazy from Free Range Kids. Looking forward, flash forward, you know, you raise a kid like this, the impact on the child is tremendous, because then they get to the age of 18, 19, 20, they leave home for the first time, and they're ill-prepared for their independence that's going to be in front of them, because we have, in a lot of ways, again, this is also parents' fault, we have not prepared them for the rigors of the world, and let's be honest, the world's the dodgeball game, you get hit in the groin every 5 minutes.
Yeah, I always hated dodgeball. But now we're blaming the parents, even though we just said that the parents can't let the kids outside lest they be arrested. So let's take a broader view of what's going on, which is that it is a society that is shoving fear down our throats, and then as the fear becomes believed, then it trickles into law, and then it ossifies there. And so if I think, like you do, it's the safest time in human history, and I want my kid to walk a mile and a half to school, and I do, I don't want to have to worry that somebody else's fear is causing them to call 911 when they see my child on the street, and then a cop comes, and his fear means that he's going to immediately arrest me, and then they bring in Child Protective Services, and Child Protective Services thinks that nothing is safe enough, certainly not a child walking a mile and a half. Who's ever done that in the history of human life? And so you can't really blame parents when there's an entire array of threats against them for believing in their kids and believing in their communities. So what we really have to do are the two things that I'm always trying to get people to do, one of which is to pass the Free Range Kids and Parents Bill of Rights, which I would like to see passed in either a city, a town, a county, a state, or the country. And basically it just says this. It says, it's our right, our kids have the right to some unsupervised time, and we have the right to give it to them without getting arrested. And in that one sentence, first of all, you boost your property values, because suddenly people are going to drive by your neighborhood and there's going to be children playing outside and bouncing balls and skipping rope, and the parks will be filled and everyone will go, that's where I want to live, not in the one where it looks like the children have been vacuumed from the street. So it's good for a town, it's good for values, property values, and it's great for the kids. It gives them that independence that you're talking about, where they do have to figure out, oh my God, my bike just broke and I'm a mile from home, I got to get home on my own. And then it gives parents some freedom too, you know? It's like, look, I've come home, I worked all day, I'd like to be making dinner, go out and play. And I don't have to worry by saying go out and play that I'm going to get a knock on the door from the cops. So the Free Range Kids Bill of Rights is something that every parent should want their town to pass, just to renormalize the idea of the kind of childhood you remember, where you got on your bike and you rode around, or you went to your house, your friend's house, and you knocked on the door and said, let's play. So pass the Free Range Kids Bill of Rights. And then to get everybody, including the parents, used to kids being outside and doing stuff on their own again, because it's been unnormalized, it's been turned into something weird and dangerous, you have to have schools do the Free Range Kids Project. And that is, the teacher tells the kid, okay, tonight when you go home, tells all their kids, tonight when you go home, ask your parents if you can do one thing that you feel you're ready to do that for one reason or another you haven't done yet, like walk the dog or make dinner or get your backpack ready and get yourself to the bus stop tomorrow morning by yourself. And because it's endorsed by the school and because it's a one-shot deal, they don't have to say, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. Often parents say yes. They'll let their kid do this. They'll let their kid, you know, take the bus to school by themselves the next day. And once parents see the kid come home after doing something on their own, say you said, please go get the bread for dinner, and the kid comes home with the bread, instead of just going, okay, now let's go back to prison, parents are hardwired to feel outrageously proud. just as proud as the kid feels, if not more. Because look, you've raised a competent kid. Look, he went and got the bread. This is great. Oh, my God. And he says the bread tastes better than anything he's ever eaten, and everybody's eating it, and he's participated in life instead of simply been given something or catered
to. It's so true. It is so true. Lenore, we appreciate you coming on. Free Range Kids, Lenore Scanese, we appreciate you coming on today. Go sign up. Bill of Rights for the kids. Free Range Kids. We appreciate that. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Chad. Sorry, I rattled on.
It's okay. It's okay. You like man buns. It happens at time to time. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Fresh farm to table. This is the Chad Benson Show.
I did think it was kind of funny those kids did that, but, you know, I'm surprised that you had two kids, you know, a 4 and 8 year old, who go online, try to figure out how to drive a car, jump in their mom and dad's car because they want McDonald's hamburgers, and then head on down to McDonald's. And, you know, you think to yourself, why aren't they in jail? Even though they were sleeping, it was nighttime, still, why aren't they in jail? We want to put everybody in jail, or we want to take everybody's kids away. The world, you know, it takes a village that everybody, you've got to pay for your kid. You got to watch your kid. You got to take care of your kid, but we're going to judge you on all of that. And if we see fit, we'll tell you how to raise the kid the way that we think we should. And I live in the nanny state that loves doing stuff like that. It's absolutely ridiculous. If you have a chance, check out Free Range Kids. Lenore Scanese, man, she likes to talk. She likes man buns. Never trust a man bun unless you're a samurai. You're a samurai? Yeah, it's all good, right? Like a samurai, you're supposed to. And I got to be honest, there's not a lot of call for a samurai nowadays. There's not a lot of call for the samurai. But it's all right, right? If you're a samurai. But if you're a 26-year-old guy with a 20-inch waist and a pretend beard and a man bun, no, it's not good. Throwing it out there. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. We dropped the big-ass bomb today. Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.